The following program comes to you as part of the Africa Health Network, a service of the Voice of America to our audience throughout the African continent.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Lino Armudu, and welcome to Health Chat. At least 2 million women suffer from this condition. There are about 50,000 to 100,000 new cases each year. Fistula is often caused by prolonged labor and sometimes a sexual assault. Experts say obstetric fistula is one of the most devastating and serious of all childbirth injuries. Women who suffer from the condition cannot control the urine of fishes. On today's program, we will take a close look at this devastating condition that can be prevented. Joining us via phone from New York City is Kate Grant, CEO of the Fistula Foundation. Ms. Grant, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Lenore.
And also joining us via phone from Kenya is Dr. Hilary Mabeya, founder and lead surgeon at GynoCare Fistula Center in Eldoret, Kenya. Dr. Mabeya, thank you for joining us. Thank you so much for being with us today. Let me remind our listeners, if you would like to participate in the show with your question or comment, please call 202-619-3111. The U.S. country code is 1. You can ask your international operator to reverse the charges and also email us your thoughts at healthchat@voanews.com or post them on facebook.com/VOA Health Chat. We'll start discussing fistula in a moment, but first, a patient and an expert have this to say.
I had to deliver at home. My husband was not at home to help me. After delivering, this problem of being incapable to control my urine started.
That is unacceptable in today's world. It also speaks to, in my view, the value of women in our societies and the fact that we do not invest enough in our girls and our women. UNFPA would like each individual that is listening to this message to commit him or herself to contribute to ending fistula in their communities. If we do so, we can ensure that each pregnant woman gets adequate care and adequate attention, and that's all we need to end fistulas.
And Dr. Mabeya, let me start with you. Can you give us a sense of the cause of fistula, the causes maybe, because I'm sure there are more than one. Can you give us a sense of what causes fistula?
Yeah, fistula is caused by prolonged stopped labor. Mother is in labor and the pelvic area is small or contracted. So the baby just sticks in there, the head of the baby sticks between the bones and the soft tissues of the bladder and the rectum. So blood supply is stopped and the tissues break up and the urine leaks out. We call that a rectovaginal fissure. Or stool can also leak out, called a rectovaginal fissure. And you can have both of them occurring at the same time. So the main cause is actually prolonged obstructed labor in more than 90% of obstetric fistula patients. There could be other causes where the surgeon or the obstetrician has caused injury to the bladder or the urethra, but that's not very, very common.
Okay. And the soundbite we heard earlier, there was a patient and also Dr. Babatunde Oshotimen, who is executive director of UNFPA. Ms. Grant, Dr. Oshotimen mentioned something about fistula that speaks to the value of our women, and he talks about women in general, African women in particular. The Fistula Foundation has been working for many, many years now addressing this issue. To what extent do you see the way women are being treated, or perhaps the role of the woman or the place that the woman has where you work, that being related to having fistula?
You know, it's a really good question, Leonard. We say at the foundation that the two root causes of fistula are poverty and the way poverty affects women and girls often more profoundly than it affects boys and men. And that really is it. I mean, as Dr. Mabea said, certainly the immediate cause of fistula is obstructed birth. But why is it that that woman is going through one of the most perilous journeys that women go through, which is bringing a new life into the world? And too often, she's doing that without medical attention that's mm-hmm. available. We know that over half the births in Africa take place at home without any medical care available to that woman. And everything goes fine, great, a healthy baby and a healthy child. But if the labor's obstructed, you can too often end up with a fistula, or frankly, worse than that, a woman who dies in labor. So I agree completely that societies make decisions about how they spend their resources. And too often, women and girls don't get their fair share. And what could be more important to society than bringing new life into the world? And yet, we know resources are not allocated to help women have safe deliveries, let alone have their fistulas repaired.
So, Dr. Mabea, when you meet a woman with fistula the first time, what is the very first step that needs to be taken in terms of her treatment, if there is, the different steps of treatment? What is the first thing that you do with any given patient that you meet for the first time?
Please understand that question well is the first treatment of first fistula. It's a myth that some years back the treatment was very difficult, and surgeons had to be trained to do this operation. The reason is that the tissues are damaged so much that the bladder becomes very small, or the urethra becomes very fibrous. So the treatment was initially very difficult, but after training, the surgery now, the success rate is over 80%, and it requires the doctors to undergo the training so that they kind of learn to know which are the difficulties of the patient, maybe what happened. But overall, the success rate is over 90%. And the trouble is that the number of doctors available to do these kind of operations are very, very few. I'd say in our own country, in Kenya, here we have maybe less than 10 dedicated doctors who can perform this kind of operation. Mm-hmm. But in good hands, the success rate is over 90%.
And the GynoCare Fistula Center is the only one, from what you just mentioned, in Kenya. How common is it of a problem in Kenya?
Repeat again, please.
How common of a problem is fistula in Kenya?
Yeah, in Kenya we have about 3,000 to 7,000 cases per year.
Okay.
And the big problem is that these mothers suffer in silence for many years, so they don't come out to talk about it, so the numbers could even be higher than that.
Mm-hmm.
In clinic, I see mothers who have lived for more than 60 years. I've actually recently a 94-year-old lady who has lived for 70 years, a woman 4 years old, and she got obstructed labor in the 1930s, and she was at home until she came to our clinic and we did surgery. But the majority of patients have lived for maybe 20 years, 15 years. So the numbers could be more than 3,000, but there's not a number of 3,000 to 7,000 a year in cases.
Okay, and Ms. Grant, as to give us a bigger picture, considering your foundation works in different countries, can you tell us how much of a problem it is, even if you don't have specific data, in terms of country-wise, the work that you do within countries? What do you see on the ground in terms of the importance of this problem?
Well, what we see, one is there isn't the most rigorous of data globally on prevalence and incidence of fistula. We do have a new meta-analysis, which basically is an analysis of a bunch of studies conducted over decades that was done and just published within the last 6 months out of the London School of Tropical Hygiene Medicine that estimates there are 1 million women globally with untreated fistula. Because of where it happens and who it happens to, in other words, it happens most often in the more rural parts of a developing country and often in the poorest countries. So our biggest programs and the ones where we see the most need are in places like Afghanistan, Congo, Somalia, Niger, Chad, places where women too often don't have access to emergency obstetric care, the very care that can prevent this injury from happening. So what we see is an imperfect sort of picture of where this horrible injury happens. But what we do know, again, is that it happens most frequently in rural parts of developing countries. Labor, as you know, is a time-sensitive event. You can't get your labor arrested 2 weeks from now if you can get to a, you know, capital city hospital. It has to be it's an emergency situation if a labor is obstructed, and consequently women that live in rural areas often are too far away from a hospital that will have a doctor capable of performing a cesarean section, which is usually the most immediate way to deliver a baby when the labor is obstructed.
And there is a new initiative that is spearheaded by the Fistula Foundation, and it is funded by Astellas Pharma Europe Ltd. And I would like you to tell us more about this initiative, because it's about helping women in Kenya in particular. Perhaps it will reach out to other women in other countries. Maybe you can clarify this. And it's new funding, new money that will be invested in. Before I let you talk, let's listen to this soundbite by Ken Jones, who is the CEO of Astellas Pharma Europe, on why this is important.
The Action on Fistula program is a unique program given to 3 years to support the increased training and capacity of surgeons to do fistula. It's the first of its kind ever, where we hope to have a sustaining, resilient outcome that's more than just a one-time, if you will, donation, but actually has a lasting impact on the country and women suffering from fistula. Astellas is really proud to be committed to this program, and we're very pleased that the partnerships we have created and developed will be successful, we believe. And we had a reception recently in Kenya where it was both with politicians and health ministries as well as surgeons, and to see the commitment of them trying to improve the whole procedure, network, outreach programs is exciting to be a part of.
And Ms. Grant, yes, so can you give us can you tell us about this new initiative and how relevant it is today?
Sure. We are really excited about this initiative. Fistula Foundation, which I run, is partnering with Astellas Pharmaceutical Europe, and you just heard from Ken Jones, who's their CEO. And what Astellas is doing is, I think, game-changing. We've been provided with $2 million over 3 years that will be spent entirely in Kenya to do the things that Mr. Jones discussed. In addition to trying to treat at least 1,200 women in the next 3 years with fistula, the important thing, I think, about this program is that we're not only going deep, we're going long. And by that I mean we're going to be looking for ways to improve fistula treatment in Kenya beyond the first 3 years of the program. And one of the key pieces of that is training more fistula surgeons. As Dr. Mabeya was mentioning earlier, there are far few fistula surgeons in Africa generally and in Kenya specifically. So we're going to be partnering with FIGO, which is the French acronym for the International Federation of Gynecology and Obstetrics, to train more fistula surgeons in Kenya, as well as building what we're calling a fistula treatment network. And by that we mean helping the hospitals and these dedicated heroic doctors like Dr. Mabeya that are treating women, but sometimes working a bit in isolation because, again, where this problem happens and that they're all working round the clock, sometimes literally and on their weekends, we're going to be, we already do have a program director on the ground who's going to be helping those disparate hospitals work more closely with one another. So we're going to help the hospitals work closely together, we're going to train more surgeons, and in the end we're going to be able to treat more women with fistula. And this is an exciting partnership with us, We're a nonprofit organization, non-governmental organization. We're the largest one in the world that supports obstetric fistula treatment. That's a nonprofit. And Astellas Pharmaceutical, which is a global leader in urology drugs, is coming to the table with a huge, again, we think, game-changing investment in fistula treatment in Kenya.
So with your experience through the foundation, would you say this is a perhaps one of the most major investment you've had? And I ask this because a lot of time we hear that fistula seems to be neglected by funders and people who have the money. So what can you tell us?
Well, to the best of our knowledge, this is the largest single contribution ever made kind of in the history of fistula. We know fistula has been going on since women have been having babies, but our belief is this is the largest donation contribution ever made in, I think, a very thoughtful way. They didn't just give us money. They challenged us to think hard about how to do this program wisely so that it provides not just relief in the short run, but the long run. I think one of the things with fistula that's made it challenging to get people to invest in it is that there aren't sort of easy fixes. Sometimes people look for, can a cell phone fix this problem? Can a new technology come in and fix this problem? And unfortunately, it just isn't the case. The chief strategy officer at Astellas, a wonderful man named Naoki Akimura, said very wisely in one of our first meetings when we were talking about the challenges of doing it, he said, if this were easy, it would already be done. And I think that's the issue. Sometimes funders look for an easy way to inject funds and fix a problem, not just in the short term, but in the long term. It's unusual, but we are so gratified that a company like Astellas has chosen to invest and go not just short term, but long term.
Now, Dr. Mabia, for someone like you who is in the hospital, directly seeing this woman and trying and succeeding very often in changing their lives, because really that's what you are doing. What do you think in terms of what is needed right now? This initiative talks about capacity building, about reinforcing, to some extent, health system, as when we look at the health facilities where the services are provided. What do you think that is needed right now, immediately, urgently?
I need the last sentence, but I just need the last sentence.
Yes. What do you think that is needed urgently as someone who is on the ground dealing with these women and providing care to them? When you see that, when you hear that there's this type of funding that comes in to help address the issue, what do you see on the ground where the money should go, or where do you need the most? Where is the most pressing need?
The most need is actually caring for these patients because they are quite fat, rich kind of patients. There is also stigma around the future of getting these patients to accept they have a problem, because most of them think that this problem cannot be treated. Uh-huh. So they kind of live in little villages. So getting to give this method that treatment is available, mm-hmm. and accepting treatment, because these are very poor women living in the villages, and they don't have kind of how to get into the hospital to get treatment, and the facilities are very, very scarce that cannot complete the surgeries, and the coming in of Future Foundation and Astellas is kind of going to increase the number of patients who can get this treatment, and each capacity for extra surgeons who can be trained to do this kind of operation. So I see a program reaching out to these women who are getting many diseases, and also building capacity in terms of surgeons to do the operation, because the number isn't enough to manage this big number of patients. And of course, building capacity for facilities that can handle this kind of operation, mm-hmm. because there are dedicated surgeries and patients staying in the hospital for many hours, for many days, 14 days, 21 days in some cases. So getting facilities available to accommodate this kind of long stay in the hospital is important.
Okay, and we are going to take a short break for the news. And when we come back, we will continue our discussion with Dr. Mabeya and Ms. Grant. Don't go away. We will talk fistula when we return.
A new report by the World Health Organization says people are now living longer. The organization's annual statistics report shows people are living an average 6 years longer than they did in 1990. The WHO reports find low-income countries have made the greatest progress, with average life expectancies rising by 9 years between 1990 and 2012. WHO experts attribute the improvements to major successes in the health-related Millennium Development Goals. Scientists say they have discovered the protein SEA that they say is essential for malaria parasites to cause severe illness. They say malaria parasites deprived of SEA are eventually eliminated from the body by the spleen. An experimental vaccine containing antibodies against the parasitic protein was developed and tested in mice. Rodents that received the vaccine were only mildly sick and had fewer parasites in their bodies than untreated mice. The researchers hope to move to human vaccine trials in the near future. And finally, researchers say treatment for the parasitic illness schistosomiasis is more effective if children have a snack before receiving the drug praziquantel. The study was conducted by researchers from Makerere University in Kampala. They worked with students at 12 primary schools. In addition to an educational message about the parasite, children at some of the schools were given donuts and mango juice prior to treatment. Children who ate something before getting the medicine had half as many eggs in their stool as those at non-snack schools. The report was published in the journal PLOS Medicine. And that's a wrap-up of the latest health news.
Welcome back. For those of you joining us late tonight, we are discussing fistula. Joining us via phone from New York City is Kate Grant, a CEO of the Fistula Foundation. And via phone from Kenya is Dr. Hilary Mabeya, founder and lead surgeon at Kainocare Fistula Center. And a reminder that you can join our conversation by calling 202-619-3111 or email us at healthchat@voanews.com. And we do have some questions coming in. We have Aisha in Sierra Leone who asked on Facebook. She says, can women give birth after acquiring fistula? Dr. Mabeya, do you want to respond to? Yes. Yes, go ahead, please, Dr. Mabeya. Can women give birth after acquiring fistula? And maybe I will add after being treated as well, because obviously if they have fistula, they're having a condition that might incapacitate them. But I will let you answer. You are the expert. Dr. Mabeya, are you there? Yes? Can you hear me? Okay. And let me come to you, Ms. Grant. Maybe with your work through the foundation, you may be able to answer this question. Do you know of women who are able to have children after being treated?
Yes, they are able to have children, with the strong caveat being we insist, if at all possible to insist, on a poor woman that she get herself to a health facility so she can have a cesarean section and an assisted delivery. If you think about fistula, creates a hole in the vagina that you're going to have tissue that's going to be weaker that's been repaired. So we definitely encourage, again, if not demand, a C-section after fistula has been repaired.
Okay. Margaret in Kenya sends us an email. She says, how can women who live in remote areas with no access to health care prevent themselves from having fistula? And Ms. Grant?
Well, that's such a good question, and in that question, there's a profound truth, which is that there's not enough care for women in rural areas. So the best answer that I can provide is to make sure, if at all possible, that woman has access to a midwife, or if not a midwife, someone else that's been trained to help in the delivery, and then as importantly, knows of where there's a health facility, and even if that requires getting closer to a larger village or town where there's a doctor available, there's no way to predict whose labor is going to be obstructed, at least on a first delivery. After a first delivery, if the labor is obstructed, there's more likelihood that a next delivery will be on a first delivery, which is where most fistula happens. There's no way to tell which woman is going to have an easy time, which woman is going to have a hard time in labor. So the best answer is to try to get near where those scarce resources are. But the question, which is a heartbreaking question, is that there underlies the fact that there just aren't enough trained medical personnel to help all the laboring women in Africa.
And Charlie in Liberia has this question, which I find a bit interesting. He says, how can husbands help their wives if they develop fistula?
You know, probably the best thing that the husband can do is to continue to love and care for that wife and to understand that she's been injured in labor, that there's nothing that she's done that's created this, and what she needs is empathy and compassion from his heart, and then what she needs is to get to a center where there's a trained surgeon, somebody dedicated and talented like Dr. Mabea that can repair her injury. Most of the time, the good news is that with a trained surgeon literally in the hands of someone like Dr. Mabea, that injury can be treated. That woman can be returned to her husband, her village, her family whole again.
Dr. Mabea, are you there? We don't have him. I have a couple of questions here that I would have asked him to answer, but let's continue with you, Ms. Grant, and if you cannot answer them, that I guess we will go to another question. Someone is asking, and that's Lindsay. She says, does the age of pregnant woman affect whether or not she's more or less susceptible to attaining a fistula during labor?
I do have an answer for that. The answer is yes. A woman that gives birth whose pelvis is not fully developed, she's menstruating so that she can conceive a child, but her pelvis hasn't fully developed, in other words, broadened for delivery, that young woman that's in sometimes her teen years is going to be more likely to develop a fistula. We know that from data out of the Fistula Hospital in Addis. In fact, 2 weeks ago when I was in Kenya, I met a woman who was 14. She was the same age as my son who's in middle school, and yet she'd already had a baby. That's harder on a teenage body than it is on a woman's body, labor and pregnancy. So yes, the age of delivery can make a difference. But once a woman gets into her late teens, 19 or so, let alone 20 in her 20s, then it doesn't make a difference. But in those younger teen years when a pelvis is still developing, it definitely does.
So we have Amina in Sierra Leone. See, she says, what commonly happens to the baby during prolonged obstructed labor?
Well, it's a really good question. And again, another difficult truth out of an insightful question. And that is that 9 times out of 10, that baby dies. So that woman who's gone through labor delivers a stillborn baby. I mean, how heartbreaking is that? I mean, is there anything worse, really? And then often doesn't understand she has a fistula until after she's resting from the labor and realizes that she's leaking waste. So, unfortunately, most of the time the baby dies.
That's terrible. Quickly, before we leave, tell us about the implementation of this new initiative. What will it entail and how will it be done on the ground?
Well, there's three parts to this initiative. The first is treating women. So we're getting, through Estelle's generosity, getting money into the hands of people like Dr. Mabea so that they can treat more women. Again, fistula often happens to the poorest women, so they don't necessarily have the money to pay for surgery. So that's the first thing. And over 3 years, our goal is to do at least 1,200 surgeries. But the other two pieces of the program are also important. One of them is that we train more fistula surgeons working through FIGO, again, the French organization, not French organization, it's actually based in London, but the French acronym for International Federation of GYN and OBs. And then lastly, we also work with outreach workers to get more women in for treatment, because believe it or not, even with this horrible injury, a lot of the women that are suffering with it don't know that treatment's available.
Okay, Ms. Grant, thank you so much for joining
thank
us
you, Lenore.
Today. And that was Kate Grant with the Fistula Foundation. We also thank Dr. Hilary Mabeya, whom we lost during the broadcast. We thank him for joining us from Kenya. I'm your host, Lenore Mudu in Washington, with producer Jackson Vinganyi. Until next time, take care, be well, and strive to make every day a healthy day.